Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Well, I didn't think you had it in you.
I'm your huckleberry.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Why, Johnny Ringo, you look like somebody just walked over your grave.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Fight's not with you, Holiday.
I beg to differ, sir. We started a game we never got to finish. Play for blood, remember?
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
I was just fooling about.
I wasn't.
The Fan.
Hey, let's do this. Final hour. Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube as we are every single day.
It's so far we need to. If I do say so myself.
We need to get to a point where we get him on video.
It would be wonderful to get him on video.
There's technical things we need to talk about behind the scenes,
yes.
But yeah.
For our YouTube bros out there, so you can get a look at, I might have to, if we do that, I'll go shaved head. We'll go shaved head on shaved head. We'll just have be a couple of bald guys talking college football with a man with a beautiful, luscious head of hair.
You know, because I've seen him do podcast interviews before. He does them all over the country. And we couldn't be more grateful. He may not be everybody's favorite cup of tea. But he's incredibly popular, and I'm just glad we get him for 20 minutes every week.
I am too. It was a great, well done, Jason Swigard, for setting that up at Big Ten Media Days. At least one thing came out of that. We're proud of you. Good grind behind the scenes.
Literally and the only thing we got.
Literally the only thing was getting Josh Pate. But it's great. I do truly enjoy his show and his thoughts on college football. One commenter on YouTube said, Dirt desperately wants Pate or anybody else who comes on the show to tell him there's nothing to worry about with the Ducks. I don't know what you're talking about, man. I myself am incredibly worried. They couldn't move the line of scrimmage against Idaho. You know the only thing I'm worried right now? After one game? I don't know what that means.
Here's the other thing. I don't know what the rushing totals would be, but like imagine we come in Monday and they've narrowly escaped Boise State.
It's going to be the same thing. Nothing will change. The narrative will still be, oh my God, what the hell is wrong and why can't you create a push up front?
Yeah.
Now, they come out, run the ball great, and they beat Boise by 30 points, and it's like, all right, this was never really a contest. Then sure, we all take a deep breath, you know, a sigh of relief.
Sure.
But when you play like they play that way against Idaho, man, that's embarrassing. It is absolutely reason to panic when you can't do it in the first week of the season. Doesn't mean the season is done or you can't finish or accomplish X, Y, or Z. But we have had one example to actually look at what they can accomplish on the field, and it wasn't great. So thinking that somebody's going to come on the show and tell me not to panic, I'm panicked. And even if somebody came on the show and told me not to panic, I would still be panicked. I don't know if you're new here. I did find his interest. I did find his comments on the transfer portal.
What are you new here?
I panic very easily. I did find his comments on the transfer portal interesting, and he highlighted that on his show in more in depth last night. But
yeah.
Florida State is another interesting case study. So last year they hit on all these guys and kind of put this puzzle together, and it turns into a 13-0 team that gets screwed out of the college football playoff.
Yep.
But a lot of their key pieces, you know, star running back, star wide receiver, a lot of their key pieces were guys that they didn't recruit. They brought in the portal. And it felt like Mike Norvell had the belief that I can go do that again, that I can go find this, I can go find that, I'll go get DJ, he's a number one, former number one quarterback, like, and we'll be okay.
Why did he think that?
I don't know. I think people just have confidence that maybe in our system we can turn him around. Like, nobody thought Penix or Bo Nix was going to do anything coming from Indiana and Auburn, and they are outliers, but there's that thought out there. We get him in our system, this will be what he needs, and now he'll flourish. It just, I do think, because we've had this conversation many times on the show, Sprague, about how much importance you put on portal, how much importance you put on high school. And I love the analogy that he used, that it will always be built through high school with sprinkling in transfer portal guys. And Florida State maybe is a case study. That one listener, by the way, before I let you go,
yeah,
texted in that I thought it was interesting. He said, I think Miami's the portal team this year that you'll see do well because they got Cam Ward for a year, and then they're going to fall on their face next season. So I don't know if that's a rooting interest. You just don't like Mario, but they are benefiting from the portal, and it's just it's not a year in and year out strategy because there's never a guarantee that the guys my team might fall into this year. Dylan Gabriel might not be Bo Nix. That could be the reason they fall short. Never a guarantee.
Also, it's week one. We don't know where Miami's going to go. They look damn good against Florida. I looked at Florida's schedule yesterday, and I kind of told myself, could they be 2-10 this year? Like, I legitimately was like, based on what I saw, how it all feels, they're now going to Lagway, the true freshman.
Oh, did they announce that officially? They're making the starter?
Mertz is hurt, so I think he's going to be out. And so I'd imagine they're going to go to the five-star anyway. Yeah. Why not? If you're Napier, kind of saves your job if you can save it.
It's the Helfrich-Herbert thing. You're saying, hey, look at this. Hey. I got this guy.
What did you want me to do?
He's my guy.
But they don't look good at all. And true freshmen largely don't have success. I know we'll talk about Colorado and Nebraska at some point today or tomorrow or Friday. Raiola may be the exempt one from that, possibly, but he's still a true freshman. You're going to take your lumps. I don't know what Miami's going to be. They very well could be a team that hit it in the portal. Also, it's not like the whole team is portal. So I think like the biggest names we talk about on that team are portal, but how many are natural recruits for Mario?
Yeah, on the offensive and defensive line especially.
So it's your three. So most of these guys that he's recruited in his tenure at Miami, this is when they start to pop. I loved the dinner dessert thing. I'm trying to get the exact quote, but something effective like, if you eat the same amount of dessert as dinner, it sounds good in theory, but you can't really do that, or you get diabetes, right? So
I like the way he said diabetes, too. It was a very...
He's got that southern twang.
It was the southern diabetes.
He lives in Nashville. He's got that Georgia twang, so he can get away with it. But I've been fascinated by this. I will continue to follow how it goes. Like, LSU played this game, and Brian Kelly learned a hard lesson. You can't replace defense with the portal. Oregon's dabbling in it quite a bit, actually, if you think about their skill position players and who's on defense and offense, but they're still balancing it enough. And so it's like, it's so enticing to say, oh, so-and-so is available, but that doesn't mean they're going to come in and change everything for you. So the whole portal, non-portal stuff, coaches are going to continue to learn and evolve with it as time goes on, because we've seen success and we've seen some pretty good failure.
Well, and I think that's just the learning curve that will happen. And even from the player side of it, too. I mean, how many guys, like Oregon's playing Boise State this weekend, for example. Malachi Nelson was the number one quarterback in the country. He leaves USC because he's not, Miller Moss is going to start for them. He's not going to start. So I'll go play somewhere else. What happened to him?
He's second string.
He's backup at Boise.
Yep.
Ty Thompson did this. Now, Ty Thompson rightfully needed a transfer because they were not going to play him. And he did the same thing. Former five-star guy. How's he doing at Tulane?
He's a backup.
Yeah. And so you have a lot of these guys that look for opportunities.
DJ could be a backup. Five-star guys everywhere.
I mean, I would bench him at this point.
I would.
You have you're 0-2 in conference play. Might as well see what you got with the young kid. And if you're Norvell, try and cobble something together and build for the future. And that leads you at least into next season. It helps a little bit in recruiting. But it's just all of this stuff, there will be a growth and a curve and a learning experience, and programs are going to have to go through it. But I think his point on Norvell and Florida State that would be truly concerning, especially for the fan that still hasn't eaten the poop, is that to change that is, it's like moving a freight liner, dude. Like you're not a good, you haven't been an elite recruiter. You've been a good recruiter, but not elite the high school ranks. And all of a sudden you got to pivot. That's going to take you 2 or 3 years just to refill your roster, to change your philosophy and your strategy. And so you don't know what the next couple of years look like. The rest of the year is going to be very bleak, and it might be another one or another two if you can't find the right guys in the portal.
The one position that I just think is always going to be, coveted and the most like can't miss is quarterback.
Yes.
Because the natural flow of what the position requires, like Dylan Gabriel is a good example of this. where he's at UCF and he has a nice start to his career, get little injuries. Then he transfers to Oklahoma. He kind of rejuvenates his name and has a nice season. Now here he is at Oregon with high expectations. Riley Leonard at Notre Dame, he didn't throw for a ton of yards, but man, he was a beast running the football, and they're pretty high on what he can be for the Irish. You look around, and I know there was a thing on LSU, USC, I think it was Kirk Herbstreit who said it on the broadcast of, man, how nice is it to see guys be patient and see that patience pay off? That's all well and good. It is a good story to see Nussmeier and Moss be rewarded for the loyalty or just sticking around and waiting for their turn. That's not how it goes for most people, and the money and the ability to go win at other places, they present themselves every offseason. If Florida State would have asked anybody on this show, hey, we want to rejuvenate this thing with the portal, we're thinking starting it with DJ, I would have been like, you're not going to succeed.
No.
I like DJ as a person. I don't trust DJ as a quarterback and leader. Everybody talks about how good a year he had with Oregon State. No, he didn't. I watched that. His completion percentage was less than 60% last year. He did not have a good season, but they were better than people expect that program to be. And so he gets a little bit of credit for what he was at Oregon State. So I just think quarterback is the most can't miss maybe in the portal that we're going to go through. And that's never going to change because high-end elite programs, if they don't have the five-star guy that they trust, like Texas has Arch Manning.
Yeah, waiting in the wings.
You just go get the guy that's going to leave the program because they have the next five-star, or you get the guy that just for whatever reason it didn't work out, but he's high-end and you recruited him. Finding the identity of portal players too, Dirt. Who fits what our culture is? I didn't think that would be as hard as it appears to be so far. It's like finding the right guys for your system, for your team. That seems to be another hang-up in the portal is you get these guys. Florida State's a beaming example. We got an NFL defensive line. No, you don't.
No.
They're all selfish players who don't play together.
Right.
And you're terrible. So culture, actually, I didn't expect it to matter as much in the portal, and it's proving to be a massive part of the story.
Yeah, it's such a fascinating time in the sport, and everybody's trying to figure out what the best way is to build a roster. And some people are learning lessons the hard way. Florida State seemingly is heading in that direction. And so do we have the quote?
I just want to play it one time because I thought it was really good. Here was Josh Pate on balancing the portal versus high school recruiting.
Well, I think it's the same ratio as dinner to dessert. You don't live off dessert, but it seems like it'd be fun. The prospect of just eating ice cream all day, it sounds great.
I could eat ice cream all day. It does sound great, doesn't it?
As somebody who just gained 10 pounds in a calendar week.
That's impressive, dude.
I'm 171
pounds. In a
dude,
week?
I told you.
10 pounds in a week.
I've been eating.
Damn.
By Sunday night,
that is impressive. Dude.
Monday night,
deep down, I'm fine.
I am. I'll show you photos. You wouldn't believe what I used to look like.
So good.
I'm the skinny guy at the fat camp. Nobody believes that he was ever fat. Yeah. He stays skinny.
How did that work? It didn't make sense.
Which drive-through have you been frequenting?
Yeah. What's been the most? What's been the biggest reason for the weight gain? Sweets, fast, just unhealthy in general. There's got to be one thing that's like a leader in the clubhouse.
Probably all the donuts.
All the donuts, a lot
probably
of donuts.
Probably all the candy. Yeah. I mean, I have a sweet tooth like you wouldn't believe, but yeah. Also, just eating.
Good for you, buddy.
Any
good for
and
you.
Everything.
Yeah. I mean, it's just eat it all.
We went over to, went to my sister-in-law's on, I think it was Sunday or Monday. My cousin bought pizza. There was like four in Detroit thick style.
Yeah.
My stomach didn't feel good on that night. I ate too much.
A little few too many slices.
So he's right. It sounds good in theory, and then you do it, and you're like, that was a mistake.
This was a bad idea.
I'm not breathing normally.
This is a bad idea. Yeah. Get your mail sack questions in. Vancouver 4 text line 503-864-6326. Anything you want to fire away? We didn't get to the sack yesterday. It was too jam-packed on a Tuesday. We'll do a carryover hump day mail sack. That is next. I didn't get to the dirty poll there. I'll dirty poll you up at the bottom of the hour, and big local news over the weekend. All that still to come back after this on The Fam.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be to be.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
All right, let's sack it up. We'll get to the dirty poll coming up, bottom of the hour. Also, big, big local news over the weekend. Where's the excitement meter on that? We'll dive into it here in a moment. Mail sack time, though. We didn't do it yesterday, and I feel bad. I love the sack. Listeners love the sack. Everybody loves the sack, and we needed to get our sack in. Mail sack question, what is your guys' go-to pre- and post-golf snack/meal? From P1 Shane.
The pre-one?
Pre or post?
Pre, I like to eat. I'm usually a morning tea time guy, so I'll do a solid little quick half breakfast sando.
Okay.
A couple slices of turkey bacon and a not yolky fried egg.
Oh.
And then you just take that on the go. It's not really that messy. It's easy. It fills you up.
That's a good thing to do. For me, if I'm playing in the morning, the biggest thing is, what is this going to do to my stomach? And am I going to have to poop my pants on the third hole?
But that's where the coffee's questionable.
You got to be no coffee.
Yeah.
And very smart with your choices of how much fiber and all that.
Post-round is different. Usually, I just go home. I don't hang out much at a clubhouse. So
I don't either.
Really, whatever I'm able to put together very quickly.
And if I do hang out at the clubhouse, it's not usually for food. It's
no,
usually
it's for beer.
Other beverages that you have fun with. So you got to go
good,
to pre or post?
Solid breakfast burrito.
Oh, okay.
That's mostly protein. I don't do a lot of, I get the potatoes and the filler out of there.
You don't want the carbs?
No.
Ahead of your 4-hour walk?
No, you don't want all that energy.
I want
boost.
Protein. I want protein. It to last.
Yeah.
Eggs.
Okay. Right. Yeah, okay.
Whether it's bacon, sausage, some vegetables. Mm. I don't do anything spicy, though, in there. I won't do like the super spicy salsa or chipotle, spicy. Whatever.
Are you still doing your diet 360 stuff?
No.
No.
Okay, all right.
No. You're hanging on.
Because you're not fat. You haven't gained the weight back.
No, I need to get back to what I haven't been doing is exercising as regularly as I was before, and that's what I need to do.
That's the key. Mail sack question, what are you most looking forward to this fall besides for sports?
Spooky season.
Spooky season. You got your Halloween decorations up?
Not yet.
It's close. How close? Over under 1 week. How far away are we?
Probably about a week.
Yeah.
A neighbor of ours, I was walking with my daughter the other day in our neighborhood, and one of our neighbors has a big plastic pumpkin in their front window, and I went,
Hell yeah. Dude, I'm coming home to caramel and pumpkin-smelling candles now, and I'm like, it's 93 degrees
really?
Out. I don't want to no.
When I see football, I don't kind of care what the weather is.
It's going to be 99 degrees today and tomorrow.
I will be coaching soccer this weekend. It'll be 95 degrees. I can't wait.
Yeah, I need to have, when I can put a sweatshirt on.
Really?
Is when I'm okay
That's
with
like
those
late
scents.
Late October.
Early October. We'll have sweatshirt weather soon. It'll be here soon. That to the answer the question, though, that's when, when you first have to pull out that comfortable sweatshirt and you get to put it on and you're just all nice and cozy, that's what I look forward to in the fall.
I know what I'm going to be for Halloween.
Oh, you already know?
Yeah.
What are you going to be?
I love doing joint costume ideas.
Yeah.
So the wife and I have done this a couple years in a row. I'm doing one with my youngest. We were Spider-Man and Spider-Girl a couple years ago.
Okay.
I will be a fly swatter, and she's going to be a fly.
That's pretty good. I like that. I like that. I think I'm going to have to, we already got the little guy's costume. His favorite show is Bluey. When you hum the song, he loves this. It's good. We got him hooked
is
on Bluey.
Bluey costume?
We got him a Bluey costume, yeah. Mm. Little cute Bluey costume.
You know Bluey's a girl.
Came in the mail. I do know that Bluey's a girl.
Okay. Right.
Yeah, I do.
Well, I don't know how much you paid attention to the show while it was on.
No, I don't know the parents' names, and my wife gives me a hard time about that. Mm. But I do enjoy the show. What are the chances you think Oregon just didn't want to show their cards, or is that a wishful fan thought?
I would say if they would have won 42-14, that would have been logical. I would say Gabriel throwing almost 50 times tells you that was necessary.
Necessary. You needed to throw the ball. I think that was the idea coming in. Yeah, let's not show anything.
Sure,
and then you're like, why is it 14-7 in the third quarter?
Yeah.
Now we need to show some cards. So part of that, I do think teams can get off to clunky starts because they're very vanilla in week one. This isn't just an Oregon thing, an in general thing, where you just kind of run out. Here's your base offense. Most people are playing inferior teams. Hell, Oregon State had two touchdown drives where they literally didn't call a pass play. They just turn around and hand the ball off over and over and over and over and over again. So when you can get away with it, you do it. I think Oregon tried to have that be their thought, but when you can't get line of scrimmage push against Idaho, it's not just chalking it up to they wanted to keep things close to the vest.
So one thing I think I said at the start of all of the playoff stuff when it went to four teams, and now we're at 12, and it's an opinion that it's made me, as the years have gone on, I've like doubled, tripled, quadrupled down on it. I feel even more adamant this year maybe than ever. I'm tired of waiting till November. If only one ranking matters, and these are the gatekeepers of a 12-team playoff, I need to know who their top 25 is to start the season.
Yeah, how do you feel at the beginning of the year, middle of the year, quarter of the year?
Because a lot of what we're reacting to, we all know this AP poll and these coaches' polls don't matter at all. And yet, we react based on what that little number is next to the team and what they did or did not do in the first 2 to 3 weeks.
Hmm.
So, like, Penn State very well could have been in a college football playoff committee's top 10, and then they handle West Virginia, who's unranked, and we still feel the same way. However, would USC have been a top 25 team?
Probably, but we don't know.
What's LSU ranked? I think it's stupid that they get to wait and basically pick off of all the polls happening, because that's how they do it. They just won't say it. If they're truly as plugged in as they act like they are, I think we need to understand where they're coming from at the start of the year.
This is the ranking that matters, and I want to see it all season long.
I want to know where you're at going into week one, because I want to see how stupid you are, or how plugged in you are, or how I feel about where you have certain teams.
And have the ability, like, I don't even mind if you rip it up and redraw it in week one, but I'm with you on just knowing where their mindset's at.
I don't think they, I like them not having any predisposed notions before they see the teams, because there is so much turnover now with rosters and coaching staffs and the whole bit. But I think with a 12, I think what we're going to see is they need to start sooner releasing polls. Maybe in October.
Conference play. When conference play starts, for most teams, because Florida State's 0-2 in conference play.
Yeah, some of the schedules are wonky.
But where's Florida State if they do a ranking? Probably top 10.
Definitely a top 10 team.
And how dumb does that look now?
Yeah.
But they didn't do it. The AP did. So they won't have Florida State in their top 25.
I think we'll start seeing polls sooner, because I think it matters sooner. When it was just the top four,
You could get by with that.
You could show up in November.
That.
It's like, okay, we've seen enough now. But
and really, the only top 12 teams mattered in the rankings anyways. It didn't really matter what they did, 16 through 20. But now when you come out in October, November, those second-tier rankings are going to matter incredibly more than they used to.
Well, imagine being ranked 22nd in week 5.
Yeah, you're like, all right.
And you're like, okay, it's one separator between
us and
the
12. Especially for the group of 5 teams?
Group of 5, it's massive,
huge.
Man. Absolutely massive. Mail sack question. How many beers do I have to send the show to ensure y'all don't talk about Colorado or Dion? We haven't talked about Colorado at all this week.
We might on Friday, because I think that's one of the bigger, most intriguing games, and I am definitely rooting for Nebraska to
pop
look like Tom Osborne's black shirts.
We have, honestly, last year we talked Dion about as much as everybody else, I think. I don't think we went above and beyond.
It was a
anybody.
Moment in time in the sport, man. It was like
a moment in time.
Yes, it was.
But this year, I mean, we talked about the South North Dakota State almost loss. Other than that, like,
That's it.
Yeah, maybe a mention with Nebraska because it's an old rivalry that suddenly feels like it's got a little juice.
Ton of juice in that game, man.
And Dion and Shadur and now Rayola.
It looks like Nebraska might have a quarterback that can regularly execute a forward pass.
You can maybe make a case, despite what the little... Well,
I love that bar. It's such a low bar to cross, but you're not wrong.
You can maybe make a case. Texas could end up waxing Michigan this weekend, that wouldn't shock anybody. Maybe this is the best game of the weekend.
I mean, it's a really bad weekend of college football.
Well, that's kind of my being point, honest, though. That's what I'm saying is this may end up being a very good game because Nebraska's defense is elite. I don't know how ready Rayola is. And then Colorado's kind of a 2-3 player team, but those 2-3 players are really stinking good.
Yep. Let me see here. I want to get two more quick ones in here. Female sack, if a fam or the missus is cooking breakfast for you and give you a menu of two, would you pick regular pancakes or potato pancakes?
Oh, potato pancakes every time. I'm not a big fan of regular pancakes.
Oh, okay.
I think that just ends up being a giant knot of dough in your stomach in about 10 minutes.
Okay, you're not wrong there. I mean, it is a bit of a gut bomb.
Potato pancakes, if you've got some fresh creme, a little creme fraiche, little chive.
Yeah, given my admission to gaining 10 pounds.
I don't think I've ever had a potato pancake.
Oh, really?
I don't think that I have.
It's one of the specialties of Elmer's.
Is it really?
Yes.
It is, actually.
It is.
One of the oldest things you've ever
said. They're known for their potato
pancakes.
It's a
big thing, and it's almost cupped.
Oh, yeah.
I'm looking at pictures of it now, because I'm like, I don't think I've ever had that.
I just admitted I'm a sweets guy. I gained a lot of weight from eating sweets. I'm going traditional here. Give me a little sausage, a little bacon, maybe two scrambled eggs on the side. I'm good.
The key is to not have, to your point of the gut bomb, like seven. Like you give me one or two little pancakes mixed with something else in the breakfast, then I would go regular pancake. But I'm not very well versed in this because I've never had the other one. Last one, I recently bought marshmallow mateys as opposed to Lucky Charms. Mm. My wife thought this was to save a few bucks, but I'm just a firm believer that it's better than Lucky Charms. I will die on this hill. Do you guys have a certain food item where the store brand is better than the name brand, in your opinion? So this guy's going marshmallow mateys over Lucky Charms.
That's a good question.
Knockoff brand, like the Kirkland sports drink, better than Gatorade.
Sometimes the Kirkland protein bars are better than the name brand bars.
I enjoy the Kirkland protein bars.
I'll stay in the same category, same conversation. You could give me the Crunch Berry equivalent grocery store bag versus the actual Captain Crunch Berries. I actually think I like the store one better, and I get more bang for my buck.
Okay. Swaggy, got anything that's a non-name brand? You like the knockoff brand better?
I don't know about knockoff, and I don't know if Trader Joe's is considered this, but if I'm looking for some good quality chocolate as opposed to some of those high-end fancy whatevers, some of their like dark chocolate.
Just the Trader Joe's brand of chocolate.
Yeah, really good.
Okay. Because Safeway brand Shells and Cheddar is the best macaroni and cheese ever made.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm going to disagree with that. I'm a big Velveeta guy.
Yeah, you are a Velveeta guy.
Velveeta Shells and Noodles.
Well, Wednesday mail sack felt good. Thank you, everybody, for your questions.
The Big Wood's still in here?
The Big Wood is still in here.
It's still in there.
Let's get to the Dirty Poll. Also, big local news over the weekend. Are we excited for it? That is next. All right, welcome back in, 8:38. We'll get to the local news here in a moment. You guys ready for the Dirty Poll? You guys ready to get your Dirty Poll on? Week one Dirty Poll action?
Can I admit something to you?
Yeah, what do you got, Bob?
I forgot you do this every week.
Every week,
and
buddy.
I forgot if you did the top 25.
No, it's 10. We go quick. It's 10. We go quick.
So why do we do 25 for preview when you only care about 10 all
year?
Well,
that's just a fun way to talk football in August. It's
now,
a fun way to get a random guest on from NC State.
Do we need to extend it to 12?
No.
Yeah, it should actually. That's a sneaky good
12,
point. It should be 12.
Well, I did not prepare 12.
You
okay?
Need a group of 5 and 11.
Yeah. No. Now you're giving me too much work here. I'm just giving you my top 10. And I'm not on the committee here.
Sesame Street.
Yeah, I am not on a committee.
Well, we've got the 12.
This is the Dirty Poll. This is not a playoff committee.
Group of 5.
We'll see if we can adjust for next week. A group of 5 and a 12 team.
Well, so it needs one group. We need your highest ranked group 5.
Okay.
And then you need 11 ranked after that.
Okay, next week we'll start with that. I didn't come prepared for that. This is not in my notes. I have my 10.
It's your segment.
I'm not going to come up with two more teams on the fly.
So
okay?
You didn't think in your mind.
No, I'm playing. I got my 10 right here. It's on my computer screen staring at me in the face.
12-team playoff.
No, I didn't. Who cares about 11 and 12, though? We don't need them in the playoffs.
Well, if it's the Ducks, you will.
then they deserve it. Number 10, we're going to go with a team who basically is only hanging on credibility from last year. They ended up pulling away in week one. We'll see. This is their big week. We'll find out what they are.
Okay.
The Michigan Wolverines are one of the best defenses in the country. Their offense is horrendous. Donovan Edwards could not run the football. Excited to see how they do against a more challenging team, but everybody else beat basically nobodies. I'm not bumping Michigan for winning by 20 out of the top 10. They were down further than what the AP poll had them. I got them at number 10. Yeah, number 9.
Quarterback?
They have two quarterbacks, actually. If you got
that
two,
means you have.
That means you got three. Tennessee comes in at number 9. Now, they played Chattanooga, but I finally got a chance to watch that game yesterday.
He looked good, didn't he?
Boy, oh boy. It was 21-0 like 3 minutes into that thing.
Nico.
They boat raced them. They ran the ball. Defense looked great. Tennessee's got another interesting test this week. NC State on the road, so we'll see a little bit more about them.
But Charlotte.
In Charlotte, thank you. Neutral site game. So I got Tennessee at number 9. Number 8, USC, man. They had one of the bigger games of the opening weekend of the season. I have been questioning their defense. I still do from a larger scale of can they compete at the highest level. But for 1 week, it looked really good. I think LSU's a good team. They won the game. They're into the top 10. USC comes in at number 8. Next three teams just played nobody. Alabama 7, Ole Miss 6. Ohio State 5, blew out nobody. This is what you're supposed to do. Number 4, Penn State going on the road to West Virginia. I think their passing game has found it a little bit. To me, they're an early team to watch as maybe breaking through, not only making their first playoff, but going on a deep run. Notre Dame comes in at number 3, going on the road to win at Texas A&M. They are going to go 11-1. They will be in the college football playoff this year. Mark it down right now. Number 2, Texas, who beat Colorado State 742-0, or whatever the final score of that game was. I do think they're the second-best team as of right now. We'll find out more about them when they go on the road to Ann Arbor and play Michigan. And the number 1 team in the country is the number 1 team in the country. It is the Georgia Bulldogs.
Swag, could you throw it up for me? Could you toss it real quick? Could you toss it? Toss it.
Where's the O?
Oh!
Not a
Nobody's giving us a chance! My top 20 nerdy poll!
I mean, they beat Idaho by 10 points.
Michigan was in a dogfight with Fresno at home.
Is Fresno State an FCS team, and did they win by 20?
I think you're doing this on purpose.
If I would have ranked Oregon in the top 10, really the top 10 team, they beat Idaho by 10 points. How can you rank them in the top 10? That's not a top 10 team. Don't rank them in the top 10. How could you not rank Oregon in the top 10?
Do you go home and tell yourself you can't win or lose?
Yes, like I do. Literally every day. Literally every day. Huh? They're not. I mean, they beat Idaho. They were in a dogfight with Idaho. That's not a top 10 team. You win this weekend, they'll be back. We'll readjust. We rip up every week at the Dirty Poll. Would you rank them in the top 10 if you had a top 10 vote right now?
I probably would.
Okay.
I'd put them at like 10.
Okay.
But I
would. Who would you have bumped out of the top 10 for Oregon?
I think them and Michigan is debatable. Certainly understand your point of winning by 20.
They won by 20 against a Mountain West team.
I know, get it.
You know, not Idaho.
I get it. It's also week one.
It is week one. You blow out Boise this weekend, you're right back in the top five where
you
belong.
Who are you going to bump if all those teams win?
Well, Michigan or Texas is going to lose, so we'll see how that game goes.
That's true.
Tennessee could lose to NC State. We'll find out more about them when they go kind of on the road, but not on the road this weekend. Right. But we'll see.
Michigan. Well, Idaho really broke you, man.
Dude, we almost lost to an FCS team. This is the most hyped season in the history of Oregon football, and they almost lost to an FCS team in week one.
You know, I'll at least say this, because people do paint you sometimes as honk. You're at least being fair in the, if USC or Ohio State had also had a similar result,
I would be making so much fun of them.
You would be you wanted Lincoln Riley to lose so bad Sunday.
Oh, hell yeah, I did. I was rooting for my
family. Which is what made me rooting for them so much better. Was just like, I knew we kind of had a show thing going on there, that had they done that against an FCS team, you definitely would have been clowning them.
Dude, I root against literally everybody in college football. I want them all to lose. I hope everybody goes 0-12. I only want my team to win. I'm not rooting for anybody other than my team in that sport, man. But no, I just, you know, if anybody else did that in the top 10, we would be making endless fun of them.
We need Jake to pull your gif of you just violently shaking your mic. That's why that thing gets limp. You break it every damn day.
This isn't my fault, man.
You read one YouTube comment and you just get outraged that everybody in the world is against you.
This is all your guys' fault. You two little beavers like teaming up on me. I can't wait till next week.
Say anything about Oregon State.
Why don't you stick that in your beaver, huh? What? Hey, good local news over the weekend and poll questions.
We do have a jam. We can jam the beaver.
We'll wrap it up next on The Fan. Oh, now my own fan base is coming at me. Oh, calm down. They didn't almost lose. Huh? What? At no point was Idaho ahead in that game. It was a lousy performance, but don't overstate it. I'm pissing off my own people.
Had a 3-point game in
Dude,
the fourth quarter.
They were up 17-14 with 4 minutes to go and needed to score on a fourth down.
Yeah.
Which, remind me, what were they on fourth down before that call? 0 for 2?
Yeah.
If they don't convert that fourth down, which was a touchdown pass to Tess Johnson, they give the ball back to Idaho up 17-14 with 4 minutes to go.
They still had Jack Lane at that point.
I know that they did not ever trail in the game. I never actually thought that they were going to lose, but to act like you were up 17-14 with 4 minutes left, man. Don't overstate it. What? It's a one-possession game.
And one of our listeners, Nick, was tweeting me because I just tweeted like Oregon with the eyes wide open emoji when Idaho scored the second touchdown. Or the first, I can't remember. But he tweeted like, oh, calm down. And I'm like, me or Oregon? He goes, well, both, actually.
Both. Yeah, everybody just needs to calm down right now. Okay?
That's what's funny is you placate a little bit to the rival fans who are chiming in. And you cause a little anger and frustration with your own fan base.
Look, I have no problem. I think if you've listened to the show long enough, you know I have no problem being critical of teams that I root for.
I think it's a pretty obvious thing with our show. We still get hit with, oh, you home. And I'm like, I don't know, man.
I grew up and I'm a diehard Blazer fan. Listen, anything I've said about that organization for the last 3 years, I don't sugarcoat stuff. Like when you struggle with Idaho, a lot of hype and anticipation. They struggled mightily in that game. They deserve all the criticism. Am I done with the season? Am I saying they're going to lose 10 games? Like, no. I'm still incredibly confident that Oregon will find their way this weekend, get the offensive line going. Bedford comes back. Like, the season is not done. But this idea of, like, don't over... Like, dude, you were in a 3-point game with 4 minutes to go against an FCS team. Against Idaho.
Yeah.
Like, let's not try and sugar... Well, they were never losing. They were never trailing in the game. Like, all right. I'm sure that's what you were saying to yourself with 4 minutes to go when you're... Bunghole was tighter than
Dude,
you know
you
what.
Imagine if they would have lost to Idaho.
Oh, it's okay, guys. Don't worry. We've never trailed. It's okay. Everybody calm down.
Would that be the biggest upset in college football history?
They were a 47-point favorite by kick.
Be, right?
One of them.
I think point spread.
No, because Michigan App State was like 31.
What was the Stanford-USC game?
That was 42, I want to say. 42? Now, let me verify that, but I think it was 42.
Because I think that is the largest one in the history of the in terms of point spread of an upset, of I think that spread. Is still
also
the record holder.
Stanford and USC were in the same conference at that point. They
it
weren't,
was not an FCS
it
team.
It was 41.
41.
So it would have not only been the biggest from a point spread, it would have just been the biggest in general.
Yes. Yes.
And you were
all of the above.
10 points different. Now, all that being said, stay tuned, because the big pee-pee tomorrow.
We got big pee-pee picks tomorrow.
And if you hadn't heard last week, you just heard me say the big pee-pee. It's not what you think I'm talking about.
No, I promise.
We do a big pee-pee every Thursday. My big pee-pee, it might go big tomorrow. B1G big.
Hey, we found out over the weekend that we're getting a WNBA team, according to Sean Hyken.
Yes.
Did you say this yesterday on the show? I couldn't remember.
I mean, I asked Orem if he doesn't have to eat a shirt.
Orem,
that was,
yes.
But we never actually talked about it.
This was
really cool, man.
It's good news. I went to this Storm game, and here's my takeaway. Climate Pledge, awesome arena. Seattle Storm, really good franchise. Cool and easy to root for. A lot of good players on that team. And here's my final takeaway. Hallelujah. I can't wait to never have to drive to and from Seattle again.
Yeah, to watch.
That drive is awful.
It sucks, dude.
It is. I do the Tacoma one because my family's there. Man, that extra hour of driving does matter. I hated it. I cannot wait to just go to the Moda Center. And here's the cool part. It sounds like it's not going to happen until 2026.
Mm-hmm.
They may have to play in the Coliseum for a year because they're doing renovations for the women's tourney in 2030.
The Coliseum, speaking of which, is going through major renovations right now, too.
Here is my takeaway. Could we? I once donned the phrase, we don't get nice things. Now live in a world where in 25, we land Cooper Flagg, the next Larry Bird.
Mm.
And then in 26, when the women's team starts and they get the number one pick, Juju Watkins. We could have Sophia Smith, Cooper Flagg, and Juju Watkins in our city at the exact same time. And don't let me shortchange old Evander, who's tearing it up with the old Timbers. Yeah. We could have those four players in Portland at the same time. Now, what does that mean? WNBA title? Yep. Cooper Flagg? Come on. 80 Celtics. Here we go. And then we've got Sophia Smith and the Thorns getting thorny, and the Timbers, they'll be chopping wood.
Okay. I'm liking the vision you're selling right now.
Now, let me add one more little vision.
Yeah.
I want them to be the Rose City somethings. I want to get out of this. Now, get out of this Portland.
Portland, you want to be Rose City?
The Portland fire will be in my brain. the Rose City Somethings.
We've done that game for years with the baseball team. We've got to start coming up with our names for the WNBA team.
Be different. Be cool. Be unique.
Yeah.
But have red and black. Don't be the Oakland,
keep the color scheme.
Yeah, keep the color scheme.
I'm with you on that one.
Come on.
If Mario Cristobal ever returns to Autzen Stadium as an opposing coach, would you boo him? 67% of people said yes, they would boo him.
Yeah.
Pretty emphatic vote on that one. Yeah. One more night, boys, before football returns. One more footballless night.
Dude, Lamar and Patrick Mahomes.
We get it tomorrow. Tomorrow, we have to make our big pee-pee picks.
Yes.
We have to make our NFL picks for the year.
NFL season predictions.
We got to do it. I got to write them down. We'll make fun of each other at the end of the year.
So we kind of did it, but you were gone. So now we're going to redo it.
We're going to redo it. We're going to redo it. This is the official.
I've changed my picks.
We're going to go division winners. We're going to go through it all.
Okay.
Division winners, AFC, NFC title game. It'll take 3 hours of the show. It'll be great.
I love it.
It'll be wonderful tomorrow.
Dude, I'm so jacked for the NFL.
Glad I pissed everybody off today. Thank you so much for being a part of our Wednesday.
Fun Wednesday. Josh Pate was great.
Go check
on the YouTube page.
Yep.
Or the podcast. Yeah, a lot of fun.
Amen, brother. If you are watching right now, make sure you like the video, subscribe to the channel if you haven't done so yet. Thanks so much for being a part of our Wednesday. We will talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Colin is next. You're listening to 1080 The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.